This is Joy in the Weeds. I'm Beth.
And I'm Kim.
We are so glad you have joined us as we have conversations exploring the dichotomy of struggle and joy.
Well, we're just going to get started. So we are, to give some background, we are in Fairview, is that right? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Fairview.
Fairview in the most beautiful cove ever. Is it a cove, right? Or a valley?
What do you call it? I call it a valley.
A valley, okay.
Surrounded by beautiful mountains.
Definitely. Ugh,
the view stunning. Is just absolutely glorious. You know, there are places that you go where you see and almost just feel the presence of God because of the beauty that is around you. And this is one of those places. And not only are we here, but we are here with Phyllis. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to let her tell you more about herself. But Phyllis, I'm just going to give you my little background. So Phyllis and I are on the Carolina Conference prayer line every Monday night. So the first time I met Phyllis was just via voice on the phone on Monday nights. And then we had the privilege of meeting each other at Carolina Camp Meeting. And we'd met, and then I think it was the second day after I'd met you, I came, it was early in the morning, came for the morning prayer meeting, prayer time at the Stone Chapel. And Phyllis was there sitting on the bench near the water, and I went and joined her. And oh, it was one of those conversations where we just were sharing about our lives. It was nothing, you know, much more than that. But boy, I was just so encouraged and felt like I had been with someone who really knew Jesus. Mm. And that always changes everything, right? Mm-hmm. That always makes such a difference. And so I just, when I started this podcast, that she was one of the ones on my mind, I thought I would just love for people to get to know her and to hear her story. So I know you're going to be encouraged today with her story. We are doing this podcast in her home. We have masks on because we're trying to be careful and be good. So anyway, what a life, how life is different than what it normally is, isn't it?
It sure is.
It really is. But anyway, Kim and I are so excited to be here. And Phyllis, tell us a little bit more about yourself. Like, I don't know, let's go all the way back to where were you born? And
I was born in Michigan, Detroit, Michigan, a lot of years ago, like 79 of them.
And I love that you'll say that. Yeah. I just love that.
It's a blessing to be my age. It's a blessing that God's given me this many years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I grew up in Garden City after living in Willow Run, which was an army barracks that they turned into a place for families that were low income. Mm-hmm. My parents took me to church until I was old enough to go. Mm-hmm. And then they sent me. Mm. That was my involvement. I was in a church that was works-oriented.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I've always had the knowledge of God, but I didn't have Jesus. Mm-hmm. And that's such a big difference.
Yes, it
sure
is.
Makes a difference.
So as my life progressed, I married a gentleman who had been married. I was divorced, and that was a sad thing. Mm-hmm. Divorce is always like a death. Mm-hmm. And I was walking in the world. Mm. I can say it in a lot of different ways, but pretty much you'd understand. I was walking in the world. I was not with the Lord. And then I met my present husband, Ron, and we were married, and I still had that emptiness. Mm-hmm. That emptiness that God tried to fill a number of times by putting people in my life that were trying to nurture me, and for whatever stubborn reason on my part, it just didn't sink in. And I was never given the opportunity or encouraged to find him in the Word, mm-hmm. in any of those walks that I had, at different churches. But I look back and I see I see the people that God used to try and show me what it would be like. Hmm. And when Ron and I were married, I have 2 children by birth. I have 4 children that Ron gave to me. Hmm. And we had 5 of our 6 living with us when we got married.
Oh, wow.
And they were all teenagers.
Oh, dear.
Oh, yes.
A blended family and
teenagers. I love that you laugh. I don't like that term because it's not true. I read every book I could think of before we got married, and I thought I had a handle on it. Well,
oh, yeah.
That didn't work.
Mm. Wow.
Anyway, and during that time, our kids, most of them left the nest, and I started getting that hunger. I had an emptiness that I just didn't know. I didn't know what to do about, and I finally decided that I needed to go to church. Now, this is one of my, I love the story of mine that God gave me. Because he led me to the first church where I really started a walk with him. Hmm. Ron and I were married in a Methodist church that was just down the road. And when that hunger started and I told him I had to go back to church, and he was not having any of it, he proclaimed himself as an atheist. And at the time, it didn't matter because I wasn't walking with the Lord. And
yeah.
he was such a
right.
nice guy, I thought.
Right,
yeah.
right, yeah. yeah.
And so I went to the church after looking the schedule up in the newspaper. And when I got there, the man at the door said, "You might as well go home because the service is almost over."
Okay.
Okay. Now, in the meantime, in the weeks before, I'd been going down a 5-lane highway daily almost. And when I'd go down this highway, I don't care which side of the road I was on, there was this little tiny double-wide trailer that was a church sitting in between a car dealership and a set of apartments in a field. Uh-huh. And every time I went by there, my eyes went to that church, and I kept thinking, how cute that church is.
Huh. Huh.
So when that man said, "Go home," I went down the road.
Good for you.
And I walked in this church, and this lady greeted me with hair as white as mine is now. And she said, "Hi, I'm Eleanor Bambaugh. I'm 72 years old. I'm a widow. I'm so glad you're here today."
Wow. What a greeting.
I will never forget her words. She sat me down. I experienced a worship service with people that cared. Hmm. And she introduced me to 5 other ladies that I had Bible study with. Well, actually, it was book study. They didn't really study the Bible. But it was the way that God started me. And
Just out of curiosity, how old were you?
Let's see. I was in my 40s. No.
Okay.
Was I in my 40s? Boy, time flies. I think I was in my late 40s.
Okay.
When that started. So now, let's see, where do I go from there? God has given me
so you were studying with these books, with these other five or six ladies.
Yep.
Okay.
Five or six ladies.
Yeah.
And we would select a book, and it was always about the Lord mm-hmm. and some sort mm-hmm. of problem our lives might be mm-hmm. incurring. And we'd read those books and we'd talk and pray. And that was my start.
Hmm.
And then God had to bring me to North Carolina to finish up his work. And to do that, and this is, I tell people, I went through a time before I came down here that was really difficult. I came to a point in my marriage that I felt I needed to leave.
Hmm.
For lots of reasons that aren't important. But I got to the point where I had actually gone out and I had put a down payment on the lease for an apartment. I had purchased a bed. I had gotten the divorce started. And when it came time to give those papers to my husband, I couldn't let him deliver them. I had to do it myself, and I don't know why, because I'm usually pretty wimpy. But it was important. So I sat down when the kids had all left the house, the ones that were still home, and I showed him the papers, and he said, "What about counseling?" I said, "I asked you, and you didn't." "What about?" And we went on with the whatabouts. And then he said, "Won't you reconsider?" And I said, "I have to pray about it." But in that conversation, three times I heard God's voice in my head saying to me, "If you leave him now, you'll never know what I had for you." Wow. Three times. Same words.
Wow.
And I had to pray about it because I mean, it really took me back.
Yeah. Because you were down the road. Like, this is not just I'm thinking about it. This was, already had a place, you had a bed, you had.
My mom was going to move in with me and help pay the rent coming up from Florida.
Wow.
I mean, it was.
Wow.
I had a job that I could support myself. It was in the works. I mean, it was right down to.
And but making that choice wasn't an easy choice.
Mm-mm.
This is not, so it's not a, oh yeah, I'm going to do my own thing. This is something that you wrestled with.
I wrestled with.
And then put everything in place. And then as you're presenting it, Jesus is telling you, I've got something for you.
And it sure didn't feel like it at the time.
Yeah. Wow.
It was very, very difficult times. And before that, I was praying, "God, I want to do your will," because I was at that point. I want to do your will, so show me what I'm supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
And he never made it clear to me, so I just kept going forward. And then I went to my pastor, and I said, "Pastor, this is what's happening. I need your permission." I felt I needed it, but I did. And he said, "You do it." What I described to him, "You do it." So anyway, God used that time to, now I moved me to North Carolina to separate my husband and I. I believe that with all my heart, because I came down here to North Carolina to take care of my mother-in-law who was dying from cancer.
So his mother?
His stepmom.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm in this house taking care of her.
So you were planning to get a divorce. Then you heard God saying, "But you wait." And then the opportunity came to come down here and take care of his mother, his stepmother.
His stepmom.
Isn't that something?
So I took a leave from my job. Huh. And in the meantime, we had started some counseling before I came down, but it didn't get us much.
Yeah.
Right.
But I also had this urgent need to want to take care of my mother-in-law. I needed to be here. Well, when she passed, she left this house to us. At the same time, my father and mother were having difficulties. My mom had COPD, and my stepdad was less than generous with his behavior. And I felt I needed to bring her up here after Mom Lytle died and take care of her and separate them, hoping they'd get back together after 49 years of marriage. And I kept her here. And then back and forth, that's another story. But anyhow, that kept me down here 4 years.
So you two were separated
this
whole time?
We were separated four years.
4 years?
Ron had a job when he started that he told him, "I have to go to North Carolina every month to 6 weeks."
Right.
And they would give him a week to do that with no pay. So now, it was a God thing keeping us taken care of with a house up there. And he was two of our kids during that 4 year period came back home. One with out of the military, another one with through a divorce. So he's up there taking care of the kids. I'm down here
taking care of the parents,
doing the geriatric set.
Wow.
And we would talk on the phone every night. And he would come down once every 6 weeks at least and spend a week. So during that time, I was going to church up the road. And I can't say my faith was growing to where I believe God has taken me now. But he was working on me. Mm. He was working on me. I was singing in their choir, and I was doing a Sunday school for some little kids. So I was very active. And then during that time, I don't know if I wasn't picking up my Bible much either. But it was still a growth pattern. And during that time, those calls that Ron and I had let me say things I would never say to him face to face.
Oh, wow.
And it gave him time, because he chews. So it gave him time to chew on the things I said.
Wow.
I love that call. He chews. I'm going to remember that. That's good.
So that time gave us time for healing.
Hmm.
That continued when he finally got down here in 2000.
Hmm.
Wow.
In that time, now, Ron, you have to remember, he wasn't going to church with me.
Mm-hmm.
When we were back in Michigan, I got teased a lot for being the church lady by my kids that followed, I guess, his example. Mm-hmm. But anyhow, when he came down here, Aunt Mellie was now with us. Aunt Mellie, a year before Ron came down, was Ron's aunt. Mm-hmm. She was the Adventist. She was a widow without children. Mm-hmm. She was having heart conditions, and the doctor said she couldn't be alone. Mm-hmm. And I would go over and check on her while I was here.
Mm-hmm.
But I had very little contact with her. But again, it was another God thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
God said, you need to take care of Aunt Mellie. So when the doctor said that she couldn't be by herself, I said, Ron, I cannot. She was ready, had herself lined up to go into Pisgah.
Right, yes.
Where they were, a retirement home. She was on their waiting list. And when they called, I said, Ron, I can't do that to her. She may be 90 years old, but she's too with it.
Mm.
So can I have her stay here? Now, we've already been through his mom.
Right.
My
Your
mom.
Mother, yes.
And now we've got Aunt Mellie.
Yes.
Who was the Adventist. And that's where God brought me into a church. And I maybe have missed it in the others, but in the church, the Adventist church, the Bible is emphasized as a source of life so intently.
Mm.
That as I was taking her to church, I was being fed.
Hmm.
And we had this, I have to tell you this because I thought it was pretty funny. We had this agreement. Aunt Mellie, I go to church and you know I'm really active in my church. And so this is what we need to, and I'm working. So we need for me to take you 1 week and then you come with me the next week to my church.
Okay.
And I thought she said yes. But about 3 weeks into it, she said, I'm not going back. I said, why not? Did someone offend you? Nope. I'm not going back. I was not a happy camper. I was pretty ticked, as a matter of fact. I did not take it in a very Christian, with a Christian attitude. I grumbled a lot. But nonetheless, I kept doing it up for a little while. And then I thought, as I'm driving home, God was speaking to me again, and he was saying, she's 90 years old. That is her fellowship. That's where her family is. That's where she needs to be. I have blessed you wherever I've put you.
Mm-hmm.
Those thoughts are running through my head.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I stopped going to my church, and I kept taking her to her church, and 2 years later, I was baptized.
There you go.
And my walk with the Lord has been awesome.
Mm.
He keeps giving me a slap now and then and saying, Phyllis, my friends know I call it the 2x4. When I need a whack, he gives it to me. And then he keeps changing me and growing me.
Mm.
And I am so grateful that in that process, I believe with all my heart that as God was changing me, he was changing Ron.
Mm. Mm.
My husband still hasn't verbally said he's given his heart to the Lord.
Right.
But he sits with me in church now. And he is very supportive of anything and everything that I want to do in church, as long as they don't wear me out. So I would say to anyone who is in that relationship now, where you are unequally yoked, God can do miracles. He's done it for me. Mm. He can do it for you. But know that it starts with you.
Yeah.
That you are the one that has to learn to, how do I say it nightly? Keep the mouth shut. Be patient and kind. Be overly thoughtful. Mm. And as you change, I believe with all my heart, you will see God change your relationship. Mm. So that's my story, and there's a lot others that go with it.
You know, what you're just saying, though, about that, the being kind, keeping your mouth shut, being, you know, all of that, I think that's for anyone in any marriage. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Just the willingness to let the Lord work on your heart. So many times what we want to do is to do all the work for them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, God's saying, wait a minute, Beth. You know, I get those 2x4s all the time.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and it's wait a minute. I want you to be working right here with me on your heart. And I think for any of us in any of our relationships, you know, if we find ourselves struggling, instead of trying to fix them, stop and let God do a work on our hearts.
Amen. When you think about most marriages that are having difficulties, we always look at the other, the spouse, mm-hmm. and we say, why can't, I'll say he, why can't he? What's the matter? Can't he see? Can't he understand? But we need to look at ourselves.
Yeah. It starts there for sure.
It starts there.
Well, because, and I think about your story, and I think even if, because you did go through one divorce, right?
I did.
Yeah. And so even if you were in that place and you'd done all the planning and the pastor says, go ahead, you need to leave. And let's say that you went and you felt like you needed to give them to him and you gave them to him and you just knew. I do believe there are times God gives us the peace and the knowledge that says, I need to leave this situation. But at the same time, that's not what he did with you, right?
No.
And so, and if he had, then he would still, it's still about, if we let God do the work in our heart, then we're going to know when he's asking us to leave and when he's asking us to stay.
Yeah, and exactly. I
and when he asks us to stay, you know, that's incredibly challenging, but so is leaving incredibly challenging.
Yes.
And so, you know, being able to be in that space with him so that he knows how to direct and guide us, because he's the only one who knows.
Mm-hmm. And I know where you're going with this, but I would not ask any woman to stay where they are being endangered or themselves or their children.
Yeah,
that's not what God wants for
us. That's
right. But when it's a matter of character changes within ourselves, God can do miracles.
He can. Oh, yes, he can. Mm-hmm.
So, women out there, do not stay where you're unsafe or your children are unsafe. That's a whole different story.
Mm-hmm.
My story is one of walking with a man who has not claimed Christ yet.
Mm.
And how God he turned my husband into the man I thought I married.
Mm.
So, I know.
Yeah.
And I can't deny any of that to anyone. I know what he's done in my walk, and I have to praise him for it.
So, you and I are on this prayer line together.
Mm-hmm.
And prayer is so precious, to me. And I know it is to you too. How has prayer been a part of this whole journey with you? Because I know you as praying Phyllis.
That's another story. I wanted to do something for the Lord. And I was at the church where I was baptized. Can I just say his name?
Yeah.
Pastor Brian Ahlberg was preaching a message on using the gifts that God has given you.
Mm.
And I'm sitting there in the congregation, and I'm saying, Lord, what can I do? What can I do? And my prayer life was 5 minutes in the morning, maybe in a devotional before that. And I started crying, and the thought kept coming to my head, you can do da-da-da, you can do da-da-da. And it was about prayer. And I went up to him after with tears running down my face and sobbing, and I'm saying, Pastor, I want to start praying and to get people to pray during worship service for you and the your message. And he looked at me. Now, he may have had a different take on it, but what I saw from him was, whoa, where did that come from? And I would say to him, if he is listening at all, serves you right for doing such a good sermon. That's where God started me, and I tried my job that I felt God has given to me is to encourage others to pray and to be an intercessor. Mm-hmm. And like my walk with Christ, that has grown over the years.
Yeah.
And I do, I will pray with anyone at any time that I can.
So what did that look like when after you went to him? Did you start like something organized or?
Yes, we organized a group of people that would go. There was a place at Foster that you could go underneath that was like a little room, and you could still, if you sat on the stair, you could still hear what was going on.
I know exactly where that is. I've been there.
Well, we'd sit on we would do two by two.
Okay.
So there would be two people there, and we'd be listening to the service, and we'd be praying for each part of it as it was occurring. And for this, as the pastor was preaching, if there were things he was saying, we would pray, Lord, please let the ears that need to hear that. And just letting the Holy Spirit guide our prayers through it.
So directly, not off somewhere, directly where you could experience the service above you, knowing what was going on and asking the Spirit to do what the Spirit does.
Right.
That's incredible.
And that lasted for a long time, and then people wanted to be a part of of the service, and so that kind of drifted away. But so then the Lord kind of encouraged me to start a prayer group in the morning before service or before Sabbath school started. And so I started the invitation, and we would take turns leading out and doing this a little devotional and then praying. It makes me want to cry now, but I've been told that's still happening.
Wow. And how many years?
I don't know. Well, I was baptized in 2000, so it's probably
15
years maybe. So praising God
that's incredible.
Yeah, that was incredible. So we tried a lot of different things at Foster. And then when it was time for me to move on, I started in another church. God kept leading these for different reasons. Mm-hmm. I wasn't a church jumper. But I had to leave for certain reasons and to try and encourage my husband to join me. And I went to another church, and we would have twice a month after service, we would take 15 to 20 minutes to gather and to pray. And that's been going on for a while. That went on. And then I had the prompting to move again and to be closer to my home. And God's wanted me to, and I kept feeling encouraged to start a women's prayer group that was both, they were half Baptist and half Adventists. Oh, wow. And we would have 12 to 16. I had 20 women on the list, and there would be 12 at least to 16 that would show up. And we would have a prayer group once a month, and we would have lunch together. And we would have a devotional, and we would sing hymns, and then we would pray. And that went on for 5 years.
Wow.
And then that needed to pass, too. Wow. And now I'm old.
Oh, but, you know, So those are all the prayer things you've been doing, which is absolutely remarkable. How has it been personally for you? Like, what does your prayer life look right here at this house? You know, and the reason I ask that is because so many times, well, I get that question with people, you know, like, what does it look like? What is it like to be in prayer? What does that look like for you personally, just right here?
Ah, I need prayer. I need that communication with the Lord. And my prayer time is in the morning. Mm-hmm. And when I don't have it, I feel empty. Mm-hmm. And when I don't have it for a day or two, I just tell Ron, I've got to go in. He calls it the box. I have to go in the prayer box. Mm. So I go in the sewing room I have here, and I close the door, and that's where I have my quiet time. Mm. I love to read scripture, and I love Psalms, and I love this little book that I've got that was put together by a lady by the name of Shelley Quinn that's filled with scripture and prayer. Mm-hmm. And I'll often pick that up to get myself started and pray some of those scriptures mm-hmm. for my family, for mm-hmm. myself. Mm-hmm. It's a very personal time. And then I pray throughout the day, Lord, keep that kid safe on that bike. Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. As it doesn't stop. He's with me off and on all day long, and I know he's with me all the time, but I just lift prayers whenever they hit me. And it's important. And I praise God that he has given me friends that are praying friends that I can call and say, okay, my friend Penny, mm-hmm. another friend named Edith, let's pray. I need prayer. This kid or that kid. Mm-hmm. And I have two other friends that we pray Tuesdays and Thursday mornings at 6 o'clock. Before they go to work. And then there's Monday night. I love to pray with our conference, praying for each other and for our church. And on Friday nights, this is another gift that God gave. We were, can I be honest?
Yes.
Yes, please. If you only knew how honest we are.
She listens to the podcast. She knows. Go ahead.
We're very honest.
The church I was in, and it's very small. And one of the elders came to me and said, Phyllis, we want to do 10 days of prayer. Will you lead it out? And my comment was, you got to be kidding. I can't get people to come to church 15 minutes before church to pray. Right. You got to be kidding me.
Right, right.
And now you're talking about 10 days for an hour?
Wow. Yeah.
And he said, yeah. I said, okay, who's going to be there? And he said, I will. I said, okay, if you'll be there each night, we'll do it. Because God says two or more.
There, that's right.
We had 12 people on the line regularly that showed up.
So you did a prayer line.
We used a conference line.
Yeah.
So that people wouldn't have to leave their homes. Because a lot of them were elderly. Mm. So we did this conference line. We had 12 people, and when they got through with the 10 days, they said, we don't want to stop. Oh, wow. That was about 4 years ago, and every Friday night, we still get together, and you can hear the tears in my eyes.
Yeah.
We now each of those people in there belong to different churches. Yeah. One moved to Maryland, and she and her sister still get on the line. We have one, the rest of us all belong to different churches, and we have between, I think the lowest we usually have is six, but it's 6 to 9 people every Friday night. And we pray for our families, and we pray for the needs of others. Mm. We have a devotional before we start and pray. And it's a blessing that none of them want to give up, nor do I.
Yeah.
So you started with a 5-minute devotional and a short little prayer in the morning. And now you're praying all day, every day, basically. I mean, let's just be clear. What do you know about Jesus that's different from the woman who knew him 5 minutes a day, which if that's all you can do, do it.
Yeah.
To the woman now who, Jesus is your constant companion.
He is. He is.
What have you learned about him in that process?
Ephesians. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not of yourself. It is a gift from God. And not of works, lest any man should boast. Because I am Christ's creation. And he's prepared good works for me to do. And that's, I am his child now. I don't have to fear the world. I can change day by day, and he does change me. He walks with me. He's in me when I invite him in. And he doesn't leave me. I know those things, and they come over the years. This isn't something that happens for most people by the snap of a finger.
Right.
Christ grows us in our relationship as we will allow him.
Yeah.
And I want all I can get of him. And there are times when I go in to have my quiet time, and 2 hours have passed, and I don't want to leave.
Yeah.
I'm reading his word. When I pray for my kids, we have 6 kids, 16 grandkids, and 7 great-grands. By the time I get through them, and then there are my friends that need prayer. By the time I get through that prayer time, it takes a while. But it's a time that I don't feel like, oh, let me get it over with. It's a time when I relish. So.
Makes me think of that song, and he walks with me, and I come to the garden alone, and there's that stanza that says, and he and it's time to go, and I don't want to go. That's what it makes me think of.
I don't want to go.
Wow. I love that.
Yeah.
What about, I just was sitting here watching you and listening to this beautiful testimony and remembering you talking about being a much younger mother with, was it 6 children, teenagers in your house, and not really knowing God at that time. And just thinking of what the contrast must be. And you just said you don't have to fear the world. Is that what
that
it was?
Yes. That was amazing.
Yeah, and thinking that there are so many women out there right now who are more you with 6 children.
Yeah.
That don't know God and not knowing God, right? Like their hearts are still in that place, just where you do fear the world and you're fearful of, you know, and you're exhausted and you're, you know, there's just so much of that. Anyway, it's just a very different place. There is a peacefulness that you exude.
Definitely.
You know, that I,
yes.
Phyllis,
yes.
And I know people are hearing it because you can hear
you can
it
hear
as
it
clearly.
Everything.
I wish they could see you.
Yes.
We'll definitely take a picture before we go and we'll share. But
masks and all.
Masks and all, okay. Yes. But I know they can hear that piece. And I know that there are moms right now who are you back then. Right? And they are thinking, they are so far from that place of peace, it just almost seems like fairy tale-ish. Does that make sense? What, is there anything you would love to say to them or to yourself back when you were there? You know, as a younger mom with 6 kids, not knowing God the way you do now.
Take that 5 minutes, if that's all you've got. Through the day, as things are happening, talk to the Lord in your head. Ask him for help. Ask him for wisdom. Find a place where you and your family can be a part of a worshiping group of people who are Bible believers. and allow them to wrap their arms around you. Mm-hmm. If I had had that, it would have been so much easier. Mm. There is a fellowship in churches. Mm. Find that church. I don't know which one it will be for you, but if you ask God to lead you, he will. Mm. Amen. Find that church where you walk in. And then when I had that lady say to me, I'm Eleanor Bamba, I knew I was where I needed to be. Find that church where someone...
Find your Eleanor Bamba.
Find your Eleanor Bamba. Walk into a church and where you feel God's wrapping his arms around you, where you feel comfortable for you and your kids, you stay there. And you will find a comfort in your relationship with Christ as you allow him to build it. That will keep you strong, and it's not going to keep you from the woes of this world. There will be ups and downs, but he says in scripture that he knows what you need, and he will help you. And it may be a struggle, but he will be there to be your comfort. And so that would be my advice, because when I started attending church, it made a huge difference, even though I hadn't even begun the journey I needed to be on. Being in that fellowship was a beautiful thing.
That's awesome. So how are you right now? How are you guys doing in this whole COVID craziness?
Well, we have each other, and I have the Lord, and Ron watches me. I am so blessed. God is changing both of us. I believe with all my heart that Ron is experiencing the Lord. Each time we sit in church, and he's with me now, if you told me that was going to happen, we'll be married. We've been married 39 years. If you told me that 20 years ago, I said, ha. Yeah. I wouldn't have seen it. But I started trusting the Lord when I started reading his word. And I started trying to find him. And I've watched me change, and as I changed, he did. And the man I'm married to now is a man I thought I married. And I believe with all my heart that God will save him. He's,
You know, you say he's experiencing God when he sits in church with you. I think he's experiencing God every day when he lives with you.
I agree.
I hope so.
I know he does. I know he does. That's, yeah, that is just the way it is. That's so beautiful. Wow. I'd love sitting here. I know you all can't tell, you don't know, but I'm sitting on the floor. I'm literally sitting at your feet.
Yeah. Yeah.
6 feet away, but I'm sitting at your feet.
You want me to get down there with you?
No.
You'll have to help me up.
No, but just it's so beautiful to hear. It really is. It gives hope. You know, I'm just so lost for words, but it's
Can
just
I
so
say,
yes, please.
For those who are struggling in a marriage, God can make changes. Don't stay where you're unsafe.
Yeah.
That's not what God wants for you. You change, and as you change, you'll watch your household change. My children, I don't want to call them my stepchildren. They're not. They're my kids.
Yeah. Yeah.
My little children, when they've got a problem, they know I pray for them. My little children used to make fun of me. They don't anymore. my own children, my biological children, they know that I have a faith, and it influences them whether they realize it or not. So understand that when God is working on you, it affects others around you.
Yes.
And be that representation of him where wherever you are, as best you can, and ask him for help, mm-hmm. and he will give it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I believe that with all my heart.
Yeah, I do too. I do too.
I've watched him change my life. Mm. The woman who was walking in sin mm-hmm. is walking with him. And yeah, mm-hmm. I mess up, but I have a Savior who forgives me mm-hmm. and puts me back on the path. So seek him,
yeah.
trust him, and know that what you are in your household will have an influence on your children and on your husband.
Yeah.
And it can, I still believe my Ron is yeah. going to be finished. God's going to finish that work in him mm-hmm. just as he's finishing it in me.
Yeah. Mm. Amen. Is there anything else you want to say? We have a question we end with every time, which I will ask. But is there anything else you want to say before I ask you that question?
For those who are in marriages where you're not equally yoked, mm-hmm. I don't know what part you would call it, but you be the one that follows the Lord, that sets, and I don't want it to sound fearful, that sets the example or lifestyle as best you can, and let the Lord do his work in you, and as you change, those in your household will change. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it may not be what you think it should be, but you aren't through with them, with seeing what God's going to do with them.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm
so trust in that. And I think what I'm hearing you yeah. saying is to trust him to do the work in their lives.
Amen.
And just let him do the work in your life.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
I wonder, before we ask our final
yes,
question.
Yes, go ahead.
We've never done this before, so would you be willing to pray for our listeners that are listening to this right now?
I'd be glad to.
Yeah, let's do that. Then we'll ask the question to close.
Oh, Father God, we come to you praising you for who you are in each of our lives, Lord. Mm. Knowing that you love us and you walk with us, whether we are paying attention to you or not. Lord, I ask that you would wrap your arms around those who are struggling right now and that you would help them realize that you are their God and that you are with them through all things. And I know things are tough for a lot of people right now. Father, thank you for telling us that you are with us. Thank you, Lord, for giving us Jesus. Thank you for the forgiveness that comes when we say, Father, Father, Father. Thank you, Lord, for the lives you are going to help us lead as we are being guided by your Holy Spirit. Mm. Fill us up to overflowing, and may we honor and glorify you with our every thought, every word, every action. May you be glorified, Lord Jesus, as you change us, Lord. May we be your walking words of love to others. In your precious name, Jesus, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much. Such a joy. You have no idea. I've wanted to do this for so long. So we always ask at the end of every podcast, in the last 24 hours, what is something that has brought you joy, laughter, or a smile? And we all answer it when I remember to give Kim the opportunity. I was just telling her I listened to a few of the podcasts this last week and realized that there have been a couple times I just didn't let her answer. So shame on me. But anyway. But we will all answer that. So is there something in the last 24 hours that's brought you joy, laughter, or a smile?
The two of you being here.
It is the best. Yay.
And my friend Song A was over here yesterday.
Oh.
And we sat out on that swing and just chatted. And we hadn't been together in months and months and months. Mm. She sat at one end of that swing with a mask on, and I was at the other. But just having her here was a joy.
That's so incredible. You know, I think that, and we've talked about it before on this podcast, but this whole isolation thing and just being away from people that we love and being able to fellowship the way we used to is mm-hmm. really, it takes a toll.
It's hard.
It's been beautiful to in a way, to realize how important being with one another is and being able to see each other in person. It's such a joy to see you today. Oh, my word.
Here's my hug.
I know.
Well, it's having this time with my husband and being away like this, he's been able to share the influence it's had on him, too.
Mm.
And it's not an easy thing.
No.
We take for granted our socialization with others and our being able to share with others.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we really have.
We really do.
All right, Kim.
Well, we are in Asheville, and we have had a comedy of errors this morning. And you know, it would make sense to be annoyed by all that, but I just found it the most, like, one more thing. Like, Beth had a flat tire, and so I had to make a I was on the way to the restaurant to where we were going to have breakfast this morning, and so I'm going to the new place where she says she is, and I put it in my GPS, and it takes me down
the other direction
to a completely different. So I had to turn around. So it's just been a comedy of errors, and as silly as it sounds, it has actually been joyful.
It's been pretty funny. That is for sure.
It's like, your turn, Miss Beth.
Well, I'm sorry. I know I sound like a broken record, but because I'm in Asheville, I got to wake up in the home of my grandson this morning, little Nolan. And, you know, he came out. He kind of woke up too early and then went back to sleep. And so he came out. He's all sleepy. And then when he saw me, he just beamed with this little smile. And
that's awesome.
That's everything.
Yeah.
And I got to dress him this morning. And, was so good. Yeah. Good. Being Grammy B brings a lot of joy.
And I miss that distancing from my grands.
Yeah.
I bet.
That's the hardest.
It's hard.
It really is. Well, Phyllis,
thank you so much, Phyllis. It's been amazing.
My blessing.
It's such a blessing. I know without a shadow of a doubt this is going to be impactful for so many. So if you want to get in contact with us, we'd be happy to share it with Phyllis. If any of you have stories you want to share with her or with us, please feel free to contact us. Let me see if I can remember it. joy@carolinasda.org is the email. So joy@carolinasda.org. Or you can find us on Instagram and Facebook. We are just Joy in the Weeds. I'm sure you can find it. So anyway, thanks for listening, and Phyllis, thank you.
My blessing.
What a wonderful, wonderful day. This is so good. All right. Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for joining us today. We would really love to hear from you. So please find us. We're on Facebook and Instagram. Just search for Joy in the Weeds. You can also email us. Our email address is joy@carolinasda.org. That's joy@carolinasda.org. Now we hope that today, as you navigate the weeds, you will also hold on to moments of joy.
This podcast is a production of the Carolina Conference of the Seventh-day Adventist Church.